Welcome to Uplifting Moments with Pastor John Edmiston, where we will learn refreshing truth that is straight from the Bible.
Hi, this is John Edmiston with Uplifting Moments. I hope you're having a great Saturday morning out there in Bakersfield. And today we'll be looking at Micah chapter 5 and verse 2, which talks about Bethlehem as the home of Jesus, where he was going to be born, and how that's a mighty prophecy that was 700 years before its time. Before that, let's pray. Father in heaven, your word is holy, true, and powerful. The prophecies have come true about Jesus. We know that you are true. Help us to believe in you and open our spiritual eyes and our spiritual ears that we may hear your word and obey it. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, let's read out the Bible. This is from the book of Micah, and the dating is somewhere between 750 to 700 AD. So this is way back in the 8th century. And so Jesus was born about 700 to 750 years after this prophecy. This is how powerful God is. But thou, Bethlehem Ephratah, though thou be little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of thee shall come forth unto me that is to be ruler in Israel, whose goings forth have been from old, from everlasting. Now, Bethlehem was a small town that was only a few miles from Jerusalem, and it's where a lot of the shepherds lived. It's where the sheep were raised for the temple, and it was also the hometown of King David, which is very important. So that's where he grew up, along with his father Jesse, and he was a shepherd there among all the shepherds of Bethlehem, and his family would have supplied the sheep, not to the temple, which wasn't built yet, because that was built by the son of David, Solomon, but to the tabernacle and to the priests who were there in Jerusalem. So it was a kind of place that raised animals for sacrifice and for the work of the temple and for God. And so it was important that David, as a shepherd, lived in Bethlehem and cared for the sacred sheep, which prepared him later on to be king. So here Micah is saying that this little town, this little sacred town of the shepherds and of ordinary everyday people, this town, though it was little among the thousands of Judah, among the thousands of little towns and hamlets that were in Judah, it wasn't a very significant place. Yet out of it would come the Messiah, the ruler in Israel, whose goings forth have been from old, from everlasting. And previously we looked at Isaiah 9, 6 and 7, that says that Jesus himself is from old. He's the everlasting Father. He's the Prince of Peace. And so we find that Jesus is continually seen as the creator of the universe, the one whose goings were from old, from the beginning of all time. Jesus is this ruler, this ancient one, who's come in human flesh as a baby. So when he was born, it's the Ancient of Days taking on human flesh. When Jesus was born, it's the one who is eternal taking on the temporiness of a human body. And so, as Colossians 2:9 says, Jesus is the fullness of deity in bodily form, and that boggles our mind as how the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, the eternal creator of the universe, could in any way take on human form. And that's a very great mystery indeed. So Bethlehem means house of bread. Beth means house, and Lehem is bread. So it's also a place of spiritual nourishment. And Christ comes from Bethlehem, and he is the bread of life. And as we eat of Christ by studying Christ, obeying Christ, putting our lives in his hands, as we even take communion, he becomes the bread of life to us. And he is our sustenance, and he keeps us going spiritually. He keeps us going emotionally and intellectually and in every other way. Because without Jesus, we starve to death spiritually. Why is that? Because without Jesus, you're stuck with the law. Without Jesus, there's no forgiveness of sins, and you have to earn your salvation every day in every way, and that's a terrible, terrible struggle. If you think you can be good enough to heaven, then you're just fooling yourself. That's not the case at all. You need the bread of life. You need life to come into you from Jesus. And Jesus will forgive your sins, and he will put his Holy Spirit in your heart, and you will be strong, and you will be good, and you'll be able to live out the commandments of God, because you have the bread of life that makes you strong. On your own, you are weak. You cannot fulfill the law. You cannot fulfill the righteous demands of God. You are weak and you are fallen. You need the cross. You need Jesus. You need his help every day and every way to be a good person, to be a decent person, to be the person that you know you should be. And if we don't have Christ, it's just a terrible, frustrating battle, or we throw out our standards and hope that no one will notice the fact that we've given up. You don't need to give up. You need to rely on Jesus. And so we're coming back to this prophecy. It's happened 750 years before Jesus was born. That means God knows the future, and he knows it a long while in advance. So here we have a very specific prophecy that the Messiah would be born in Bethlehem. And as we know, that prophecy was fulfilled. And Jesus came, and he was a great prophet. In fact, he was the Son of God, and he died for your sins and my sins. And so the ruler of Israel, the king of the church, the one who will return in glory, that one was prophesied 750 years in advance. So God is in control. Now, if I try and make a prediction, it never works. All my little guesses at politics or share prices or anything else, they've been wrong. And I won't tell you about them because you just laugh at me. But my ability to predict the future is very, very poor. And the people who try and predict the stock market say it's just a random walk. Mathematically, it's a random walk, and it is very hard to predict stocks. And so human activity, even a few years out, is difficult to understand. The people were trying to predict World War II. Some would say it would happen. Some said it didn't. And no one understood what Hitler was doing till Hitler did it. But God knew about World War II, and God knew about all the things that had happened in history, and he knew that Jesus was going to be born in Bethlehem 750 years after he revealed that to Micah the prophet. And this is what the prophets do. They're special spiritual people, and they can see a little bit into the future, the bits that God shows them. So it's like, if you can imagine, time being like a ruler, a 12-inch ruler laid out on a huge carpet. And the carpet's eternity, and the ruler is time as we understand it on earth. And the prophet is like an ant walking along the edge of the ruler, and it can wander a little bit off the ruler into eternity. It can get a little bit of perspective from outside the ruler and look down and see what's ahead. But we can't, because we're stuck on the edge of the ruler at all times. We can't see ahead, but the prophets go up into eternity, and they can look down on the earth. They can look down on time as we know time, and see ahead into the future as God reveals it to them. And so times with God is very different. God knows past, present, and future simultaneously. And so he reveals that to his prophets, and they write it down, and it probably doesn't make much sense to them at the time. They probably think, why am I writing this? Why has God given me these words? And eventually they come true. And we find out that this confirms that Micah, the book of Micah, should be in the Bible because his prophecies came true. Some people demand that prophecies come true instantly, like they must come true next year or the year after that. But this one took 750 years to come true. So we need to be a little bit patient with the prophets, particularly the long-term prophets like Micah and Isaiah and Jeremiah and Ezekiel. Ezekiel's got a great prophecy there that we can see is very close to fulfillment, the Battle of Gog and Magog. If you go in the chapters 38 and 39 of Ezekiel, you see these things starting to work out. So we can see God's prophecies coming true after a long time, and some of them will come true probably within my lifetime. I expect Gog and Magog to happen sometime in the next 50 years, and if I live that long, I will see a prophecy of God fulfilled in my time. So we see that these prophets, these Hebrew prophets, and of course Jesus himself, speaking of the return of Christ and of the millennium and all the prophecies he spoke of, these prophecies come true. And we can rely on them, and we can rely on the word of God, and rely on the fact that God is in charge of the universe. And it's not our job to run it. It's not our job to make things come true. God is in charge. Now, it says that, yet out of thee shall come forth unto me that is to be ruler in Israel. So, after the Babylonian exile, there was no real ruler in Israel. It was a little bit under the Maccabees, but everyone was governed by this power or that power, whether it be the Babylonians or the Greeks or the Romans or this or that or the various things going back and forth. It wasn't until Christ came that a ruler in Israel emerged, and he was crucified as king of the Jews. And Pilate replied to the priests, who said it should be he said he's king of the Jews, but Pilate said no, he is the king of the Jews, and put the sign up so that Jesus was crucified as the king of the Jews. And he meant to insult the Jews, but he also spoke a very great truth. Jesus was king in Israel, even though he never got to sit on a throne. And but Jesus himself said, my kingdom is not of this world. The kingdom of God is a reflection, is a spiritual reflection of the kingdom of Israel. So the kingdom of Israel was like an experiment, an earthly experiment. But the true kingdom of God is universal, of course. We find the kingdom of God here in the United States, Australia, Papua New Guinea, Philippines, India. The kingdom of God is all over the world, wherever people obey the Lord Jesus Christ and let him rule as Lord over their hearts. So in that sense, Israel is being used as the church. In some prophecies, Israel means the church. In other prophecies, Israel means Israel. Now, Israel's still there in the world today. It's come back after many years, and God has a plan and a purpose for the physical Israel, and I'm not denying the importance of the Jews. But we've got to understand the Bible correctly when you're meaning mystical Israel and when you're meaning the literal physical Israel. And that's not replacement theology. That's just good exegesis of the Bible. And in this case, it's meaning the mystical Israel, the church of God, which Paul talks about in Galatians 6. He talks about the physical, literal Israel in Romans 11. So you've got to understand where we're going here. And Jesus is the ruler in Israel. He's the head of all things. He's the head of the church, of which we are the body and the part. And this was Jesus' role from the very beginning. He's always the head of those who believe. Jesus is the king of all who have had faith from the time of Abraham right up to now, and of course with Noah, and all who have believed in God. They are ruled over by the Lord Jesus Christ. You are in Christ, and he is in you, and he is your Lord and your Savior, and he has preeminence over all things. So you can trust Jesus. He was born in a stable in Bethlehem. He comes from humble beginnings, but in fact, he's the mighty God. He's the ruler over the Israel that's physical, the Israel that's spiritual. In fact, he's the ruler over the entire universe. But he is especially the ruler over all of us who believe and trust in him as Christians. So put your trust in Jesus now. Don't give up on life. Trust in him. He's your Savior. He's your Lord. He forgives you your sins. He gives you eternal life. Trust in the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved. Prophecies are true and he's coming back. This is John Edmiston signing off. God bless you all.
Thank you for listening to Uplifting Moments with Pastor John Edmiston. This is a faith ministry, and if the Lord has touched your heart, you may give securely online at eternity.church.